So, we mentioned that we light the candles from Shkiyat HaChama, when the sun goes down, till Tzeit HaKochavim. This is when the buffer, when we're supposed to start lighting the candles. It says in the Talmud, in the Gemara, that the time to light the candles from Shkiyat HaChama, from the sun goes down, Ad Asher Tichle Regel Min HaShuk, till the last leg is going to be in the market, which is a very interesting way of expressing a time of the day. I would understand you express the time of the day saying sunrise, sunset, dawn, when the stars go out. But saying the time of the day till the last leg would leave the market, that's a very interesting way of announcing a time of the day. So the Arizal says in the book called Shara Kavanot, in the place where it's called Sod Ner Chanukah, in the secret of the candle of Chanukah, he asks the question, what is really the action that happens when I light the candle? Because anything that I do must be an action to it. Now, why particular the action of lighting the candle has to be done when the sun goes down? Why didn't our sages decide that the candle should be lit, like Kriyat Shema Lamita, Kriyat Shema in the morning has to be from Alot HaShachar, from dawn, till a certain hour? How come the sages say, okay, candle lighting will be from when the sun goes down till when the stars come out, which the Gemara is calling it Ad Asher Tichle Regel Min HaShuk, till the last foot, leg, would leave the market. So the Arizal explains very specific. Every day, exactly at the time when the sun goes down, this is called Shkiyat HaChama, except Shabbat and Yom Tov, at the time of Shkiyat HaChama, when the sun goes down, there's a special godly revelation. This is called He'ara Elokit, a certain shine, a certain godly revelation that happens exactly at that time. This godly revelation is called Shechinah. Now, another way of calling it is Malchut de Atzilut, is the lowest level of all the Sefirot, but in the world of Atzilut. This is two ways of how the time this godly revelation is called. Either it's referred to as Shechinah, or either it's referred to as Malchut de Atzilut. This godly revelation is at the time of Shkiyat HaChama. That's why in many things that we go by, we mention the time when the sun goes down. Whether it's Mincha, praying Mincha, whether it's now we're talking about lighting candles, maybe it's, whether it's lighting candles on Shabbat, and many other things. Now, at that time that the sun goes down, this godly revelation, this Shechinah comes down to the world, but it comes to the world that is called Olam HaPerud, the world of separation. And this is this world. Because in the world above, it's called the worlds of unity, Olamot Yichud. This world is called the world of separation. Everything is separated. The easiest way to understand it is right now we're sitting here and we're all separated. I'm here and I'm in my body. You are over there. You are in your body. And we're all separated from each other. Each one of us has their own apartment. We all have our own clothes. We're all separated from each other. This is a very basic way to explain it, how this world is about separation. There's nothing here. Even if we share a house, you have your room, I have my room. Even if we share clothes, then today you're wearing that coat and tomorrow I'll be wearing this coat. So even if we're sharing things, we're still separated. So this world is called Olam HaPirud, the world of separation. When the Shekhinah comes down to the world at that time, that's what's causing the separation. Now, this is a concept that is a little bit harder to understand, but Hashem wanted it to be a separation. He wanted the world to be separated into many different components and many different places, many different people, many different souls, and many different types. What causes this separation is this godly revelation that is referred to as Shechina or Malchut Atzilut, and that godly revelation comes down at the time of Shkia. Now, in Chanukah, we have 8 days that we're lighting the candles. We're lighting these candles for 8 days, A, because the candles, they were burning, the oil from the can lasted 8 days. I mentioned before that during Chanukah, maybe we'll start already on Thursday, we will start going one part after the other in Chanukah. Why are we doing it? There are very interesting mystical reasons for why we're doing 8. Because there's one opinion that the oil actually lasted for 7 days and not for 8 days. So our sages added the 8th day. We're going to talk about that. But, like I said, there's an opinion that said it didn't last for 8 days. It lasted for 7 days. But there's a reason why we light 8 days. But since we're lighting the 8 days, we know that there are 8 days that this godly revelation is empowered. It's shining in what's called He'ara Yetera, more revealed. It's more dominating. It's more powerful. The light that it comes down with the Shekhinah all in these 8 days, we mentioned it in the other classes, comes from the light that is called Or HaGanuz. Or HaGanuz is this concealed light that was shining for the first 36 hours when the world was created. In the beginning, when Hashem created the world, He says the famous verse, Vayehi Or, and they should be light. And Hashem saw that the light is beautiful. Vayar Hashem Kitov. Hashem saw that it's light, that the light is beautiful. And then Hashem took this light, He concealed it, and He hid it for the future, for the tzaddikim at the time when Mashiach comes. This light was shining for 36 hours. That's one of the many reasons why we light 36 candles. This is where we learn that we have the 36 hidden tzaddikim in every generation. But this Or HaGanuz, Adam HaRishon was actually using it to see everything in the world in the first few hours that he was operating. So we know Adam HaRishon was created on the 6th day, but it was created very close to Shabbat. And in the few hours that Adam HaRishon, after he was created, till the sin, he used that Or HaGanuz. Because the Or HaGanuz was shining for 36 hours, and then Vayar Hashem Kitov, and Hashem took away the light and removed it. This is not the light that is lighting the world. The light that is lighting the world is coming from the sun, that was created on the 4th day. But the teachings of Kabbalah says that Adam HaRishon used this Or HaGanuz in order to see the world in his eyes. This Or HaGanuz, this concealed light, actually has a little shine in Erev Shabbat. Erev Shabbat, right before Shabbat comes in, there's this revelation of this Or HaGanuz. There are a few special times during the year that there's an auspicious time, it shines. We don't see it, of course, but it's coming more in a dominant way to the world. It's more powerful. In the 8 days of Chanukah, at the time that we light the candles, between Shkia, sunset, and Tzeta Kochavim, that's when this light comes down to the world and is shining in a very powerful way. Of course, we don't see it with our eyes, but that's what happens. This light shines in the world for 30 minutes. And again, if we would have special glasses to put it on, we would see it. But this 30 minutes that this light is shining is between Shkia, sundown, sunset, till Tzeta Kochavim. This is the time when this light is coming in. That's the time that you want to tap into it. That's the time when we start lighting the candles. And this is the time that you can actually tap into the Or HaGanuz. I'm going to get to your question in a second. Excuse me? We light in Shkia.
We don't light at sunset,
we light much before. Shabbos candles or Chanukah candles? I'm not talking about Shabbat candles, I'm talking about Chanukah candles.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about Chanukah now, not Shabbat. I just mentioned as a side note that a glimpse, what's called He'ara, from Or HaGanuz is revealed before Shabbat. But it has, what I'm talking about right now is only Chanukah. I'm not talking about Shabbat. Chanukah, the Or HaGanuz, this godly revelation, is shining and revealed for half an hour from Shkia till Tzet HaKochavim. Only Chanukah. I'm not talking about Shabbat. Now, we mentioned in the Gemara that it's talking about that the time to light candles from Shkiat HaChama Ad Asher Tichle Regel Min HaShuk, till the last leg is going to leave this, leave the market, the Shuk, which is a very weird way to explain it. But the Arizal explains why is it like that. Now we know that the pitcher of oil, the Pach Shemen, we talked about it on Friday, but Bezrat Hashem, this coming Thursday, we will have a short class revealing the history of this pitcher of Shemen, why it's so important, where did it come from? Because the Gemara says how this Shemen came in was passed in generation. David HaMelech had this pitcher of oil. But there's a much more interesting story about this pitcher of oil. This pitcher of oil already was in the hands of Yaakov Avinu. We'll talk about that. We talked about it on Friday. I see some of you nodding, remembering what I said. But we'll talk about it on Thursday, Bezrat Hashem. But it says that this pitcher of oil, Pach HaShemen, was used to light the candles for 8 days. This pitcher it belonged to Yaakov Avinu. And we read in the parasha now that Yaakov had to go back after they went through the what's called Ma'avar Yavok, they crossed the river. Yaakov Avinu came with thousands of animals, four wives, 11 kids, thousands and thousands of cattle and animals, hundreds of servants. Everybody crossed the river, and then suddenly the tzaddik remembers that he forgot a little pitcher of a pach of copper, of a tin, and he goes back. And then he meets Esav's angel, and they start fighting, and they fight how it's called Ad Alot HaShachar. We're going to have a beautiful shiur on Thursday, don't miss it, just talking about that. What's the concept? But it says that they were fighting, and the dust of their feet, avak raglehem, the dust was going up like two wrestlers that are fighting in the sand. It says that the dust of the feet went all the way up to Shamayim. That's why it says avak raglehem, the regel. Again, it's talking about the same a part of the foot that is called regel. Regel is a foot. Now, what is this foot? The Arizal explains that this godly revelation that comes at the 30 minutes that the light is shining, if you remember, we talked about, I think it was a week ago, about the concept of Chanukah, that who was the oppressor at the time was the Malchut Yavan. The country was Yavan. Yavan is Greece. And we explained and we went through how each letter, the Yud, the Vav, and the Nun, what they represent. I don't know if you were here. If you're not, go online and you'll see it. It was a very beautiful class. But I mentioned how the letters, I mean, every word in Hebrew is precise. Greece, I mean, you might say it in English, but in Hebrew, Yavan, there's a meaning behind the word Yavan. If you look at the letters, how it's written, it's Yud, Vav, and Nun. Go back to the video and you'll see it. We talked about the Yud corresponds to the Chochmah, and the Vav is the Midot, and the Nun, Sofit, I mentioned how the Nun goes underneath the line. If you're looking at the line, then the letters are all in the lines. There are some letters that they go above the line, and some letters go underneath the line. For example, Lamed, it goes above the line. But Nun Sofit, Chav Sofit, Kuf, and a few more, they go under the line. That's what I mean, under the line. So the Nun goes under the line, which basically the Nun goes into what's called Mitachat Le'asarat Fachim. The Shekhinah, the godly revelation, never went down Mitachat Le'asarat Fachim, under 10 Fachim. That's why when the Lubavitcher Rebbe always used to talk about the redemption, he always added the sentence by saying mitachat la'asarat pachim. If you follow the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you'll see that constantly he's talking about that the godly revelation should be underneath, below 10 tfachim. Why? Because the Shekhinah, the godly revelation, never came down to the world mitachat la'asarat tfachim. When Mashiach is going to come very soon, it will go mitachat la'asarat tfachim. That's a mystical, one of the many mystical reasons why we spoke about in the class before, why the menorah, the Chanukiah, has to be above 3 tfachim and below 10 tfachim, because this is where the Shekhinah doesn't go to. This is where the Nun, the letter Nun, goes down underneath the line. This letter Nun represents the souls that go into the Klipah. Now, I and many others, including most people in the world, we do some all sorts of things that are not so wanted or according to the Torah. I lie, I cheat. I'm not talking about severe things of people, whether they desecrate Shabbat, forbidden relations, food that is completely contaminated and impure. We all the time do all sorts of things that are not according to the Torah. And some of the things are very, very severe. For example, something as simple as lying or lashon hara, slandering. This is a very severe sin. And a lot of people, whether they do it deliberately or not, they desecrate Shabbat. Or many other things. When I, chas v'shalom, do something like that, what I do is I take my neshama, my soul, and I put it into the klipah. I lower it from the level where it's from. When I do a mitzvah, I elevate myself to a higher level. But unfortunately, when I do something that is not good, I take my neshama and I place it in the klipot, into the world of separation. I take it completely away. Now, the world of separation is called also Reshut HaRabim. In Halakha, in the oral law, there's different domains. One domain is called Reshut HaRabim, the public domain, which today in our days we don't really have a Reshut HaRabim, because the Reshut HaRabim has to be 30 amah wide, and at least 600,000 people has to cross through it every day. This is according to Halakha Reshut HaRabim. That's why, for example, when they come in big cities to make a Eruv, they have a problem because they need a Reshut HaRabim. That's why, for example, in the city of Los Angeles, the Eruv there is around the highways. In Los Angeles, there's a loop of highways, so they really have a Reshut HaRabim because it's wide, and they have more than 600,000 people crossing it every day, so the Eruv in Los Angeles is around the highways. But we're not going into the halakha right now. In halakha, there are different domains: Reshut HaRabim, Reshut HaYachid. Reshut HaYachid is a personal domain, like my own home. Reshut HaRabim is a public domain. In halachot in Shabbat, we're going to learn very soon when we start learning all the halachot Shabbat, what does it mean moving from domain to domain. But if you're looking at the mystical part of this explanation, Reshut HaRabim, the public domain, is this world, because it's the world of separation. Everything is separated here. It belongs to everybody. But Reshut HaYachid, a personal domain, this is the world above, because this is the domain of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad, Roshmo Echad. There's only one. There's a unity in Shemayim. This is called Reshut HaYachid. Now, why is the Gemara saying, Ad Asher Tichle Regel Min Ashok? First of all, when it's talking about the Regel, it's talking about the souls that are so low, they're in the level of a kev, of the heel, that it's touching the ground. Regel also, if you look at a Nun, it looks like a very long leg. When the Gemara is talking about a Regel, it's referring to the souls that go all the way down into the Klipah. But when it's talking Dafka about the Shuk, Shuk is a market. That's Reshut HaRabim, it's a public domain. In order for me to remove the soul out of the Klipah, I have to elevate it to a higher level. I have to elevate it to the Reshut HaYachid, to the domain of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's referring to a market, taking the leg out of the market, out of the Reshut HaRabim. And where does the leg will go? Where will the person go? To its home, to Reshut HaYachid. So the metaphor behind it, the explanation behind it, is that I do something that is not good. I do a certain sin. I take my neshama now and I put it into the klipah. I'm not talking about people now that all day long what they do is they take their neshama and put it in the klipah by doing all these horrible, terrible sins. But I want to take the neshama out of the klipa. Even my neshama. My neshama is stuck in the klipa. I can have a very long beard and a very black suit, but if I lie, or if I cheat, or if I do any other thing that is severe, I take my neshama and I put it into the klipa. It's very, very simple. That's why I have to do everyday tshuva. That's why I pray and I do kriyat shma lamita and everything that I do. But sometimes the neshama is stuck very hard in the klipa. Almost each and every one of us has something that we're really, really stuck in. It doesn't matter how religious you are. You might be doing 90% good, 10% you're still failing in something that is pretty severe. And I'm not saying in chas v'shalom to insult anyone or to put anybody in a wrong place. We all have it. That I'm fighting a certain klipa and I cannot break this klipa. So one person will be with lying, another person will be with slander, another person will be looking at the wrong place. Each one has something that his mom really stuck in this klipa. And we all have that, because if you don't have that, then you are a tzaddik or a tzaddiket. At the 30 minutes of the candles, when they're lighting, this organus, this light is shining. This is the time when I can actually tap into this godly revelation of the Shekhinah that comes down to the world and have the ability to pull the soul out of the klipa. My own soul and any other soul. I have now the ability to now fix and to refine the damage that I do in all these severe sins. A lot of people come and tell me, listen, I desecrated Shabbat, I had forbidden relations, I drove on Yom Kippur, all these things. How do I do a tikkun for that? Of course. So this is the 30 minutes where the ultimate tikkun can happen while I'm lighting the candles in the right time. It has to be in the right time and in the right space. That's why we mentioned in the class before, you can light the candles above 10 tfachim. You can go all the way up to 20 amot, which is about 7 meters. And it can be in between. But the right way to do it is above 3 tfachim. 3 tfachim, it's because when you go all the way down to the world of separation, which is controlled by the klipot, then we know that we have 3 klipot. Three main klipot, shalosh klipot atmeot. So this goes to the three first tfachim, that you don't want to go all the way down. You don't want to bring the slide all the way down, because the slide can be captured by the klipa. So you don't want to put the Chanukiah on the floor, because the floor represents the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, and I don't want to give the klipa even the power of the light. So it has to be above three tfachim. But I want to stay between the three tfachim and the ten tfachim. Tefach is 8 centimeters. Why? Because the Shekhinah does not go down beneath 10 tfachim. But on Chanukah, and I'm lighting the candles, in this half an hour, the Or HaGanuz takes, the Shekhinah goes down underneath mitachat 10 tfachim. That's why the miracle was so great. That's why they made a holiday out of this miracle. That's why after Mashiach comes, we're still going to celebrate Chanukah. All the holidays are going to be cancelled. So this is an auspicious time for me to focus, to center my focus, to meditate. I have the ability to pull my own klipa, my own neshama out of the klipa. So much more so if I invite people to my candle. So much more so if I pray to a certain individual. I have a very, very powerful, auspicious time to do a tikkun, to fix my severe sins in my past, and to help another person. Bezrat Hashem, next year we're going to talk about a few things that we want to do while I'm sitting in front of the candles. It's not the time, like I mentioned before, to eat donuts and to check your WhatsApps. Rather, you want to sit and concentrate on what's going on for this half an hour. And this is the half an hour that we can tap into this godly light that will be revealed at the time when Mashiach comes. That if I actually do my right peula, my right action, we have an auspicious time to bring the redemption. If enough Jews would light candles at the right time, that's why you see that the Chabad movement, they're lighting candles everywhere in public, that the more Jews will be part of it. It's a big mitzvah to grab people out of the street. Come, join us, just say amen, look at the candles for 5 minutes. So more Jews will be part of it, because this is the auspicious time to hasten the redemption. So Bezrat Hashem, when we're lighting next week the menorah, you got to concentrate that first of all you're lighting it at the time of sunset. You want to make sure that it's lighting in the time between sunset and Tzeit HaKochavim, and it has to light, like we said in the class before, half an hour after that. Bezrat Hashem, we should see this godly light, this Or HaGanuz shining in Beit HaMikdash very soon. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see this Chanukah.